Yeah. Glory, glory, glory. Yeah, I had typed that out to Pam. I said, no, I ain't going to say that. I'd ride the storm out or I'd ride the storm up. Either way, I was going to ride it. And I took it out. I said, no, I'm not going to say that. Lord willing, he'll let me ride it out. But if I did ride it up, I'd get to meet him a lot sooner than I thought. Yeah. To him be the glory. Now, I did clean up, though, last night, but I anticipated there could be a possibility there wouldn't be no water this morning. Yeah. All right. Get your Bibles. Let's look at it. Psalm 37. We talked about it Wednesday, but we're going to talk about it a little bit more today. We may even use both services. Just depends. I've got a whole lot more material that I'd love to be able to share than we've got time this morning and probably even this afternoon. But something about this psalm just keeps bringing me back to it. And I think it is so beneficial for us to glean and continue to glean from, to continue to feed from it. In verse number 25, David says something to us in Psalm 37 that we want to pay attention to. Because a lot of what we're reading about David's journey, we see David on many different scales. There'd be one point we see him on a exuberant high on the mountain, and then we'll find him down in a pit sometimes. Because that's just, life goes that way. If we're not careful, we read Wednesday night, we looked at him in Psalm 43 where he was down. He had taken his eyes off of the Lord. He had let the enemy get his attention and in focus. And he was asking God to send forth his light and his truth to lead him back to his presence. Now, David writes that as a younger man. Psalm 37 gives us insight that David was advanced in age. He's gained some wisdom as he's walked through these circumstances of life, and he comes from that perspective. He's not talking about a theory. Now, there's nothing wrong with us taking God at His Word, even when we don't understand all that His Word is implying. Meaning, we hear God say something to us, we've never walked in that Word particularly, but we in faith believe it in start walking toward it. We want to walk in what He reveals to us because we know it's the best way. But we haven't experienced that principle applicable in our everyday life. So we just taking God at His Word, walking in a place our foot has never walked before. We follow in His lead. They talked about that in Psalm 77. You'll read about it if you hadn't already. It says that Moses followed the footsteps of the Lord into the sea, a place they had never walked before. When God parted the sea and the ocean, that sea, the waters were dry and they crossed over it and Pharaoh's army behind them. They were walking into something they had never journeyed before. They just followed the footsteps of the Lord in the unknown. And there's a lot that we do in walking in the unknown with a God who knows everything. And we can. But there is a wisdom to be learned when we have not just walked in a theory or trusted a theory of a thing, whether that be what somebody told us or what God's revealed to us, but when you've walked through it, meaning you have a testimony, you have a story, you have history. You have history that God has been faithful because I can look back over my life and watch what He did and how He did it. And let me tell you what He did. And this is what David's telling us in Psalm 37. He says it in verse 25. He says, I have been young and I am now what? I'm old. He's an older man. David's not far from departing this old world. So he's given us some history, some stories, some things he's walked through because he's walked through them. And he testifies, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor have I found his descendants begging for bread. For the righteous man is ever kind, merciful, and he lends, and his descendants are what? Blessed. They are blessed, verse number 26. So we're coming from the practical experience of somebody who's had a history of walking with God, and he says, I've never, not one single time, have I ever found somebody that is righteous, walking with God, begging for bread. God meets the needs of His people. When He's your shepherd will lead you, He will feed you, and He'll meet every need you have. Amen? Amen. So David cannot just say that from a young man experience in listening to the testimony of others. He said, I'm telling you for a fact, in my age, even though his life was just a handbreadth, even though it was just a vapor, it was short in relative to human history and eternity. He says, all my days I can testify, I've never seen a righteous man forsaken by God. God meets our needs and we can trust Him no matter the circumstances, no matter how grave it may look, no matter how difficult it may be. God says that He'll take care of the orphan, He'll take care of the widow, and He will take care of the righteous. Amen?
Amen.
And we can trust Him on the... Now, it may not be how we thought it would be, and it may not be how we anticipated it to be, but in the end, and while we're walking through it, we want to give testimony and praise. God will not forsake His people.
Amen.
He's just not going to do it. Now, He uses His people to bless His people. He uses His people to encourage His people. He uses His people to meet the needs. And I've watched it in my own personal life. I'm by far no older man. I still see myself as young as Brandon at 31. In my mind, I might not be able to do physically what I was used to be able to do. And sometimes I still think I can, you know. And you just give me a little bit and I'll work toward getting to be able to do it again. But I can testify God's not going to let you down.
Wow.
He may not come through the way that you anticipated it to be, but He's faithful and He's good. I'm sure Stephanie will share a little testimony on it, but one of the ladies, and she just shared this with me this morning, and it was fresh as we were talking about some of these things, as I was going over some of this even this morning, while she called and we got to talking, a lady that we've connected with that lost her husband a couple years ago, and Stephanie's made a good connection with her, and we've done some stuff with her and worked with her a little bit, and she lost her husband to cancer, and how faithful God's been to her and how He's met specific needs in her life. Well, she drove all the way to Texas to go to this conference. A 12-hour journey, drove down there to go to the Friday night thing, and then she went also to the Saturday thing Stephanie was doing. Well, she had testified, it was just one of many different things, but she had shared with Stephanie that she had her car checked out before she left. Drove it down there, and within about an hour to where she was going to be staying with a pastor and his wife there in Texas, her car started acting up on her, started smoking, and started acting funny on her. She checked it all out before she left, knowing she was going to make a trip, you know, not having a husband, not anybody to be able to do that. She brought somebody, everything looked good. She was depending on it to get her there. Well, just before she got there, it started acting up, and she began to pray and ask God, just get me to where I'm going. And she says she made it, but it was smoking, and it was smoking some yellow smoke. And she got there and pulled in, and it went out. As soon as she pulled in the driveway, it shut off. Well, the wife and her, he said, the husband told him, the pastor that she was staying with, y'all go off, go do something, I'll take care of this. He called back and got a hold of her son. They talked about it, what they ought to do and how to do it. They had somebody come look at it all while they was going, and the engine blew up on her. Shot, done. Here's a woman that is a widow who don't have any money to buy something, get something to make it back home. She don't know none of this is going on, what took place with it. She's out with the pastor's wife. Well, somebody in their church who was generous givers had given something to the pastor and his wife, and they were going to use it to pay off a debt. Well, they went and bought the lady a car. And when she got back from shopping, handed her keys and a title and told her it was hers. Do whatever you want with it. You can sell it, a small car, take it however you want. It'll be something you can't get anything out of what you got, but you can get something out of this. And now she's on the road today, headed 12 hours. She'll probably be coming through here, going back home. It's just the point of this, that God uses His people to meet the needs in His people's life, and you don't ever, ever have to worry about Him meeting your need when He is your life. Amen?
Amen.
He's going to take care of you. And this is what David is telling us. We've got testimony after testimony in our own personal lives of how God has come through again and again and again and again. When it didn't make sense, He come through every single time. And that's why we don't want to get caught up in, this is where this psalm starts out, look in verse number 1, where he says, "Do not fret, do not fret, do not be anxious, do not be worried, do not be angry, do not be with animosity in your heart because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they, the evildoers, the wicked, the workers of iniquity, for they will soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Now, as we start this psalm and we read through and we look at it, something that we can't necessarily see in our English translations, but this psalm, Janet, is written in an acrostic type form. In an acrostic type form of using the Hebrew alphabet. In the Hebrew alphabet, there are 22 letters. This psalm has 40 verses in it. Every other stanza in this psalm is in successive Hebrew alphabetic letters. You can say it starts with A and it ends with Z. That's not how the Hebrew works. It's Alpha and Omega. But let's just say from A to Z. What, when you say that term from A to Z, what do you mean? The what? The entire alphabet. Or if you was applying it to something, you were talking about something that is complete. From start to finish. From A to Z. This psalm, I believe, David in his older age wrote it under the inspiration of the Spirit that gives it its great justification. Also, from the history of his own life, he's saying, "Brother, I'm fixing to cover with you from A to Z in this one message of God's faithfulness that you can trust Him. And you don't have to let your affections and your attention and your anxieties be swooped away. You don't have to give your focus to other things. You don't have to give your focus to the evildoers. I've watched this over the years," he's saying. "They will be, it may look like they're prospering. It may look like they're winning. It may look like they're harming. It may look like they're taking advantage of a society and the people of God. But you can rest assured their end is coming. They may not die in a prison somewhere. They may not see justice while they live on this earth, but justice will eventually be served. What they're doing, how they're doing it, why they're doing it has not escaped the eye of God. They will come to a sure end. Their days are very brief. The glory and the beauty they are standing upon now, their wealth and riches or whatever they're doing, that is going to fade away. And the value they have in this earth has no value for you as you walking through the kingdom. You don't have to glean from them. So don't let them steal your focus or your attention and get too much out of you. Why? Because it's going to hinder you in your journey. You'll be worried. You'll be frustrated. You'll be filled with anger and wrath and envy and jealousy and all those things. David is simply saying, hey, the steps of a good man are ordered by God. They are not going to inherit the kingdom. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. They're not going to inherit this earth. They're not going to inherit peace. Matter of fact, God and God's people will be blessed with all those things. And those who trust in the Lord, those who wait on the Lord, those who are meek, and those who are blessed of God will inherit all that God has. But the wicked will be cut off. So don't give them the light of day. Get your eyes on the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Get your eyes on Him and walk with Him. And you will make a difference not only in the people, in your people's life and those around you, But it's a good possibility God will use you to make a difference in one of their lives, but He's not going to use you if you letting them steal your focus. If you letting them steal your attention. So don't worry about where this society is headed in all its craziness. You get your eyes on God and fulfill His mission, and God will use you to make a difference in their life. But getting caught up in them ain't going to make a difference for them. It's going to cripple you and not them. Amen?
Amen.
So we want to learn. This is what He's saying. This is an A to Z thing. This is from beginning to end. I'm going to give you these 40 verses. Give us what we need to really understand what it means to walk and rest and dwell and cling unto the Lord. And that's what He says. Verse number 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed upon His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you to the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Not just for us, but it's going to cause harm for everybody around you. So do not fret. Now this is what I've done, I've done this throughout the years. This has been done a long time ago for me. But if you take and just circle or underline the first word of each verse in the first 8 verses, it'll give you a platform of simply how to just step out and walk with the Lord. First thing is do not fret. Do not fret. Verse number 2, for they shall be cut off. See, there's no reason to fret. Do not fret, because what you're fretting over is going to come to an end. And whatever you fretting over that comes to an end is going to come to an end with it. It won't last. Fretting is useless. It's wasteless. Anything that's not done in faith is going to burn up. Are you with me?
Come on.
The only things that endure, Davin, is that which is done in faith. That's the only thing that's going to last in the kingdom of God. That which is done in faith, because that which is done in faith is of God.
Yes.
And that which is of God endures. But anything, Keith, that is not done in faith will be lost. It's going to get cut off. It's not going to make it through. It's going to get burned up. Because all our works are going to be tested by fire. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Everything. And only that which is faith will be refined and pure and bring glory and honor to Jesus when He comes. Anything that was not done in faith will be dissipated. It'll be done away with. That's going to be a lot of loss for us. Are you with me? It's going to be cut off. So there's no need to fret. It has no eternal value. No worry whatsoever. The only thing we need to be worried about is that we're not seeking first Jesus and His kingdom. If there's anything to worry about, it's not that we're not seeking Him enough to trust Him. Amen? The seeking first. What does Matthew 6:33 say? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else would fall right in its proper place. Previous that, He says, don't torture yourself. Don't worry about this and don't worry about that. But if there's anything, Sandy, you need, you should worry about, that is, you're not seeking me first in my kingdom ways. That should concern you there. But nothing else should. Amen?
Amen?
Nothing else. So, do not fret. And then we see here, for the workers of iniquity be cut off. Verse number 3, trust. Verse number 4, delight yourself. Verse number 5, commit your way unto the Lord. Verse number 6, He is going to bring it to light. Verse number 7, rest and wait upon the Lord. That's a pretty good pattern right there. First thing, don't get caught up with the evil and people. Trust in the Lord. Delight in Him. Commit your way to Him. Let Him bring it to pass and just rest in Him. And then verse number 8, you know what's going to happen then? You'll cease. You'll cease from fretting. Amen? Amen. You'll cease from being anxious. I mean, that's a solution for us right there. It's right there in front of us. It's those first few words and of every stanza of this A to Z of complete things. Don't worry about that. Trust, delight, commit, let Him bring it about, rest in Him, and cease being angry. Amen?
Amen.
That's how it's going to happen, Karen, right there. That order, every single time. We'll never get away from those steps if I'm going to walk in the abundance of feeding upon the Lord. It's going to begin when I don't let nothing other than Him take my focus, and I'm going to put my trust in Him. When I put my trust in Him, I'm going to delight in Him. When I put my delight in Him, I'm steady committing myself to Him. When I'm committing myself to Him, He's going to make sure what I commit to Him comes to light. And I can rest in Him and be quiet and be still and let Him work it out. And I can cease from letting everything else steal my heart, my attention, my focus, and my joy in this life. Amen?
Amen.
You won't get away from it. You get that out of order and you start looking over here, a fretting, you're not going to trust. You're not going to delight. You're not going to commit. He's not going to bring it to light. And you're not going to rest in Him. You're going to be frustrated, disturbed, anxious. You're not going to cease from these things. They're going to be so present in your life, you can't get away from it.
Come on.
But just the opposite is so when we trust in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I need somebody up here. Brandon, come up here for a second. Greg, you come up here for a second. Keith, come in. Let me do this. Oh, never mind. You keep that little baby. All right. Let's do this right here. Finna tie y'all fellas up. Maybe. No. Grab that right there, Brandon. All right. Let's see. Let's put this around Brandon real quick. Put that around you, Brandon. Put it up under your arms right there. Keith, get a hold of that right there. All right. Come on over here. Keith, you hold this right here. All right. Keith, you just take Brandon wherever you want to take him. He'll fight with you, but he's going to eventually come with you. Because the more he tries to struggle with you, the more it's going to hurt him and it ain't going to hurt you. So he's going to come to you. And notice, when he's coming to you, he's always got his focus on you. He can try to get away from you and fight you, but every time he's trying to get away and fight you, he's still going to be looking at you. He's going to wonder what you're doing, where you're going. This is how we were born in this world. This is us born in this world. You represent our fallen side, our fallen nature. You know, the Bible talks about there's a war going on inside of us. You have the flesh and you have the spirit, God at work, and there's a war that is happening. But for us, before there was a war happening, we were just entangled in our own flesh, and whatever our focus was on, that would be the wicked, the evildoer, just the person who did life in their own strength. And wherever the flesh pulled us, that's where we went, and that's what we put our focus on. But now let's do this. Greg, put this one on you. Brandon, you stay right there. Keith, you get a hold of this. You get in the middle of these two. You get over here, Brandon.
Let me turn around.
Now what we're going to picture is this is what happens. We're going to make a picture of where Keith would be as if Brandon was just a minute ago, but now Keith is a believer. He's got Brandon over here, his flesh, who's wanting to take him wherever he wants to take him. But now because he's a believer, he has the Spirit of God. He's got the work of God on this side. wanting to take him in his direction. These two are going to be pulling, constantly pulling. There's a constant battle going inside the believer's life that are pulling us in whatever direction. Now, the direction that's going to go, we know that Greg, as God, is stronger than our flesh. But what hinders us is when Keith turns and he faces and focuses that which is fallen, and then this pulls him. And what God does, God never just lets us go in the sense of what he's going to steady be pulling back. But the struggle happens within Keith, within us, and there's a battle that is going on. And if Keith turned and pulled this away, and then he's focused in on the Lord, he's trusting God, he's going to drag this along with him, because you can't ever get rid of the flesh. That's part of us. The flesh is unredeemed. It knows too much about us and not enough about God, but I can't depend upon it. When I depend upon it, whatever I focus on, it's going to pull me in that direction. But when I turn my focus toward God and I'm trusting Him and He's leading my life, even though this is still nagging and pulling at me, but I'm delighting in Him every day as I walk in led of God, I'm getting stronger and I'm getting stronger and I'm getting stronger. And this flesh, I don't have to finish. Remember the other day we talked about it with the ice cream? The flesh wants to serve the ice cream, but you don't have to finish it. You don't have to eat it. That's the picture of what's going on inside of a person's life. That's the picture of what David was saying. The evildoers want your focus. Don't give it to them. Trust in the Lord. Let Him lead you. And when you trust in Him, feed upon His faithfulness and then delight yourself in the Lord, and He's going to bring your desires. Your desire is going to be more for Him and for His ways. You're going to let Him lead you. And then the flesh is just going to tag along with you. And it's still going to want to pull. There's still going to be a battle. But I'm finding daily victory in whatever I'm looking to. That makes sense to y'all? That's how this works in our life. Thank y'all. Thank you. This is how all this works. It depends on where I'm putting my focus. Thank you, brother. It's going to depend on where I'm going to find the most pleasure and delight in the struggle that's going on in us. As Brandon represented earlier, the life with the flesh that just didn't have God in our lives, we just drug all over. We just led by it. That's where the evildoer's at. That's where the wicked person's at. That's a person without God that's going to be cut off. But when God interrupts us and puts His Spirit within us, He then brings us into His life. But I have to put my faith. I got to focus in on Him. I got to believe Him and trust Him to advance His good in this world. And when it says in verse number 4, let's just focus in on it for a moment. Delight yourself also in the Lord. I mentioned Wednesday night that word delight means to be, it's a word that meant to be effeminate, to act like a woman. Let me give you the Hebrew word. Y'all ready for this now? It's going to make sense to you when I tell you. The Hebrew word is pronounced a nag. A nag. A nag. Why is it considered to be like a woman that is a nag? A nagging woman. Let me tell you what happened in the fall. In the fall, when Adam and Eve fell, part of the curse... This is part of the curse. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, God said this, Eve, your desire will be for your husband, and he, your husband, shall rule over you. Your desire shall be for your husband. This was part of the curse. What does that mean, your desire shall be for your husband? Your desire shall be what? You want his attention. You want his affection. You don't want just part of him. You just don't want some of him. You want all of him. You want all of him. You want to spend quality time with him. You want more time with him. You want all his affection. You want all his adoration. You want all his attention. You want it all. But his desire, or his, the way he views things, is that he understands in his role under the curse, his desire is to rule. A ruler has a duty to perform. And what is that duty of a ruler to perform? One, to provide and to protect. To provide and protect. A husband, part of the curse that fell upon men and women is this. The wife wants the full affection and attention of her husband, but the husband feels like he's given his wife all the full attention and affection when he is providing and protecting her, when he's working. That's a duty that is put in him. So the more he makes, the more he earns, the more he does, he says, I'm loving you, woman. But the woman says, I don't care how much you make. I don't care how much you do. I want all of you. And then there's a clash that goes on in the midst of that because they don't think either one of them is loving one another. A ruler rules well when he is respected well. You take a ruler that doesn't believe he's being respected by his people, who becomes a harsh ruler, becomes a dictator. And that, you see, that's why there's a lot of conflict within marriages. Because the wife says, I don't care how much money we have. They really want more of you. I mean, they wouldn't mind money and you. Are you with me? But there's something innate in us in our fallenness that's part of this old world that as a man, he says, I can't express any more love to you than to meet our needs and to protect you and provide for you. I'm trying to do that. You don't respect that. You say I don't love you, but I do love you and I'm showing that I love you. But you want more out of me. Quit nagging me. You're nagging me. You're nagging me. You're nagging me. To act like a woman who's nagging her husband about his attention, about his affection, about his adoration. And the husband says, I am loving you. I'm providing for you. I'm doing all that I'm supposed to be doing. Remember, that's in a fallen. So we both, as husbands and wives, have to look beyond our fallen side and realize that, hey, our wife wants our attention. My wife wants my affection. My wife wants more me, more time with me than she does my money. Are you with me? Where the wife has to realize, hey, he is showing me his affection and his love. He's trying to meet needs and take care of me. So I want to respect him. The more I respect him, the more I do that, the more desire he's going to have for me. But see, there's a barrier there in the fall. That's where we need God's wisdom and discretion. Amen. But let's now reverse that when we're dealing with God. God don't mind us nagging him. God don't mind us saying we want more time with you. God doesn't mind us saying we want more of your attention. We want more of your affection. We want more of you, God. We want more of you. God ain't like the rest of us men. That is not a barrier in there. He can give you all the time you need. Amen. He can give you all the attention you need. And not just us as a group, but he can do it individually with all of us. He can give you exactly what you need. And that is exactly what David is saying. Be a nag. Be like a woman who just pursues God and is in love with him and wants all his attention and affection. And you know what God's going to do when you do that? He's going to start putting his desire within you.
Amen.
And you know what? Your desires are going to wind up being his desires. As the New Testament would say it, it is God who works in us both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Amen.
Amen.
So what I'm saying is here, David is saying, trust in the Lord, feed upon his faithfulness, but nag him, get after him, pursue him, seek him with all your heart. David said in that Psalm 63, I'm going to seek you early. Your loving kindness is better than life. And when I go to bed at night, when I lay down, you're going to be the meditations of my thought. I want more of you. I need more of you. I long for you. And I because I respect you, I honor you. I want all you have for me. And I want to tell you, the more you want of God, the more you'll get of him.
Amen.
He's already given us all. Amen. But when I'm nagging him, you know what he's getting? He's getting more of me. That's the thing. He's getting more of me, Brother Shannon. I don't need any more of what He's already given me. He just needs more of me. And when I'm giving Him more of me, I am acting like a woman who is presenting herself to her husband, saying, I need you to spend time with me. I need you to be with me. I need your help. I need your counsel. I need your presence. I need you, God. I need you. Man, the difference that He makes in our life when we nag Him. Amen?
Amen.
Remember, even Jesus talked about us being persistent in our prayer life. Remember when He said that woman who just kept nagging that judge, kept coming to Him, kept coming to Him, kept coming to Him, and He finally said, what does that woman want? I'll give her whatever she wants. He said, that's how we need to be, of seeking God. Just keep going after Him. Just keep pursuing Him. Keep being persistent. Keep nagging Him, going to His presence. And God begins to put His desire in our life, because He loves to give us the desires of our heart. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I can't do that. Listen to me. If I'm looking at Brandon as Keith, I'm not going to nag the Lord. I'm not going to be pursuing Him. Why? Something else has stole my focus. Boy, but when He has all my attention, and I let Him know how much of attention I want of His, and I'm pursuing Him, I want to tell you, He is going to give me all of His attention and affection. And to God be the glory. I need it. You need it. Amen. Men, women alike, we need to act like a woman. Tender, sensitive before Him, that when He speaks, I hear what He says. I believe what He says. I trust what He says. I commit to what He's given me. And man, the difference that He makes in our lives. Amen. Now we'll come back and we're going to keep looking at how this all plays out in that not fretting, trusting, delighting, committing, letting Him bring it to pass, and resting in Him. Father, thank You today. I ask You to help us with this. We want to be able to say, as the psalmist says, we know, we have seen, we have experienced, we have an expectation that You are at work and want to do something in us. You want to plant Your desires, Your ways, Your truths, Your principles, Your presence within us, that our desires are looking more and more like Your very own. Help us with these things. Teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Aren't you glad you can come just as you are? I mean, when we without might, without strength, ungodly, just a puff of air, He still gave His life for us. Amen? He sure did. Anybody have anything before we go? Well, well, glory. All right, what time are we going to gather back up?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Sounds good. Anybody else?
God's so good.
Ain't he good? Ain't he good? Ain't he good? Carrie?